So as Moshe Rabbeinu continues to speak to the Jewish people, in addition to the rebukes, he also comforts them and he blesses them. And something really interesting happens at the end of the first reading. See, Sheni in most Chumashim starts in the first chapter on Pasuk Yud Aleph. At least in many Chumashim it starts that way. When some Chumashim it starts in Pasuk Yud Gimel. The reason is we don't want to start a reading with the word Echa, especially given the fact that this is a Shabbos usually before Tisha B'Av. But that's not really what Sheni is. Sheni is really a Pasuk Yud Beis. Sheni begins Echa Eselavadi. How will I carry this all alone? In some communities, they even kind of sing the words Echa, the chanted and the sad Echa tune. We don't do that. And really, our custom is possibly just to go to the regular Sheni. So we're going to learn today the last two psukim before Sheni. The last two psukim before Sheni is verse 10 and verse 11. And after Moshe Rabbeinu will bless the Jewish people, then he will speak again about the impossibility of trying to service them, of trying to help them, of trying to take care of them. Pasuk Yud, chapter 1, verse 10, Hashem Elokeichem hir ba'eschem. The Lord your God has made you great. Ve'hinchem hayoyim, you are today, kichoich ve'hashomayim. You are today like the stars of the heavens, l'roiv, in such great abundance. Now this presents a problem to somebody who has his eyes open. The problem is, really? We're like the stars? So Rashi asks the question. A lot of times Rashi doesn't ask the question. A lot of times Rashi assumes you're going to ask the question. Here he actually asks the question. In case you didn't have the question, here it is. V'chi kichich v'hashamayim hayu v'oise hayoyim. Were they as numerous as the stars on that day? That's the question. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you are. He doesn't say you will be. He says, you are. He says, were they? V'chi kichich v'hashamayim hayu v'haloi. There were only 600,000. And even if we had to say that 600,000 means only the males, which means there's another 600,000 females, which gives us 1.2 million. And even if we had to say that that is only from the ages of 20 to 60. So that gives us all the children, so add another 1.2 million. And then all the people who live till ripe old ages, as like Moshe Rabbeinu lives to 120, and Aaron lives to 123, and so on and so forth. So even if you add on another million, okay, you still... 3.5 million. It's not endless numbers. It's not 700 million people. It's not a billion people. So what does it mean that the kikrech v'eshamayim? Mahu hinchem hayoyim. What do you mean today? What do you mean today? So if this is a blessing, and this is a future, a foretelling, a prophecy, here's what's going to be. Okay, fine. Moshe says, He says, God has made you great. God has increased you. He has made you manifold. And you are today like the stars. And Rashi says, but we're not. Hayoyim, hinchem hayoyim, ma'u hinchem hayoyim. Rashi's answer is, hinchem mishulim kayoyim. You are likened to the day. And just like the brilliance of the day illuminates everything, so too you illuminate. You're a source of illumination. And just as kayomim le'olam, and just as this is a constant, it'll always be there. So too, kechama uchelvano chechichovim, the mountains change, the weather changes, but the sun's always there, the moon's always there, stars are always there, and that way we're talking about something which is a constant. So hincham ayim does not refer to the numerology, doesn't refer to the abundance. It refers to the conceptualization. You are like a star. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wants the Jewish people to know. Now, this is kind of a blessing also. This is kind of a blessing. He says, God has made you great. He's multiplied you. So in the Medrash Rabbah, he asks the question, Lama beidachesem mikichavim? Why does he bless them using the imagery of stars? In Pshut Lashon Mikra, we can't quote this Medrash because it says, Lama beirchem. Why does he bless them? And in fact, there's no blessing here. Moshe Rabbeinu is stating matter-of-factly what the Jewish people are. He's extolling their virtues. So the Medrash Rabbah says, the Medrash Rabbah does see within it a blessing. And therefore the Medrash says, Ma kechovim halalu milas agave milas. Stars are many layers of stars. There's the outer layer of stars, and then there's the further galaxies. You look at the heavens, you see many, many stars, but the truth is, they're not all in one area. They span millions of miles, light years. So it is also with the Jewish people. There are many different levels. We're not all the same. We're all Jewish people. We're all special. We're all stars. But within that framework and rubric of stars, there are many levels. There are many levels. And you may not even notice it or see it, but that's the truth. Yisrael is milus agabe milus. Kichavim, ein lehem cheke, the Medrash says. Nobody really plumbs the depths of the stars. Nobody has explored the great universe. Nobody really knows what the Jewish people's value is. The value of every single yid, the depth within every single yid. Something that's just Yisrael ein lehem cheke. No way to know.
There's dwarf stars and supergiant stars.
Correct. Right. So everything from dwarf Jews to supergiant Jews. Now the Medrash Rabbah also, in manuscript actually, connects us to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was blessed. Hashem said, "Kay yizaracha, so will be your children." And he took him outside and he said, "Sferda kechavim, can you count the stars?" He said, "This is how your children are going to be." So we see from the very first time that the children of Israel, or the Jewish people, were spoken of before they existed, when they were just in a potential state. But Hashem was promising them to Avram Avinu. There wasn't even a first beginning of the Jewish people. It was just an idea, a theory at the time. And nonetheless, Hashem uses the imagery of stars. So too, we talk about this idea, when Moshe Rabbeinu wants to talk about the greatness of the Jewish people, the uniqueness of the Jewish people, the virtue of the Jewish people, stars is the handy and likely metaphor. The Baal HaAkedah says that we refer here not to the Jewish people alone, but to their effect. That their effect is multiplied. And he says, Shefa Hatzlachosam, the abundance of the Jewish people's success in influencing others and making a difference and an impact in the world is Bishir Rav Ba'atzum. It's in an incredible way, enormous, enormous impact, to the point that you are likened to the stars in the heaven. And the truth is, you never know what you can do. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wants the Jewish people to know. You have no idea who you are. You have no idea what you're capable of. That's empowering. That's a shot in the arm. That's confidence. The Nachach Gidumim says that when the Jewish people do the will of Hashem, we're shakel keneged kama, the kama bnei adam. If we live as we're supposed to, we don't count for one. We don't count for two. We count for many. And therefore, you can never count the yid, because the yid is always more than one. You never know what you're counting. You never know what you're looking at. So that's the segue. Now you understand it on a pshuto shomikra level. Now you understand it on a deep level, midrashically, the way the Rishonim talked about it. Achreinim. Now Moshe Rabbeinu does bless the Jewish people. And he says, Hashem Elokei Aviseichem, the Lord God of your fathers, Yosef Aleichem. Till now he said they are great. You're already amazing. Now he says, Yosef Aleichem. May he add, may he multiply. Kochem, like this. Elef pa'amim, 1,000 times. V'yivarech eschem. And he should bless you, kasha dibur lechem, as he spoke to you. What does this mean? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu blessing the Jewish people with 1,000 times? What's this 1,000? How does the number 1,000 figure over here? So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, he wants to bless them. Yosef Aleichem Kechem Elef Pam. He says, I wish that you multiply 1,000 times more so. This should be 1,000-fold. It's a blessing. And after he blesses the Jewish people 1,000-fold, Mahu Shuv V'Yivarech Eschem Kasha Dibur Lechem. Moshe Rabbeinu just blessed us 1,000-fold. And then he said, God should bless you as he spoke to you. So the first question we have to ask ourselves, what is the 1,000-fold? What is it? Why 1,000? Where do you get the number from? So the Panim Yafeh says something very interesting. We have a principle which is derived from Aseres HaDibris, from the idea of Yud Gimel Midis, that Mida Toiva, that a good measure, is G'day L'Pi Chomish Meis, Mimidis Peronius. that good is 500 times better. How do we know that? Because it says in the Gimel Midos HaRachamim that Hashem can visit consequence and punishment for sin, al shlishim v'aribayim, on a third and even a fourth generation. So up to four generations, assuming that the Eichas B'maisa HaVaseim, that they continue to behave in this negative way, then you can continue to receive the negativity up to four generations. And then it says that when it comes to recompense in a good way, in a positive way, when it comes to reward, it's alpayim, it's 2,000. No, do the math. Four generations versus 2,000.
80 years.
That's squared to the power of 500. Multiplied 500. So the Panim Yafis says we see that goodness is always 500 times more powerful than that which is bad. Now he says, Moshe Rabbeinu himself received a blessing from Hashem twice. It was not in a good context. It was Hashem wanted to get rid of the Jewish people and rebuild anew. But when he received the blessing twice, Moshe Rabbeinu's blessing was, Hashem said, I will make you legoy gadol. I'll make you into a great nation. Hashem said that twice. So midah toiva is not one, but midah toiva is 500. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if I got a blessing, whatever I have, I transfer to you. If I got a blessing of being a great nation, I transfer my blessing of being great onto you. I got the blessing twice. If I got it twice, each time is 500 times more. It's magnified 500. So that's what the 1,000 times. That's the pshat where the Panim Yafis explains it. Because he had shtei brachas, so that's pi chamesh meis, and that's times two. So berchem elef pom, he blessed him 1,000 times.
How does Rashi explain it?
Rashi doesn't actually explain this business of 1,000 times. We'll soon see what the Arizal says. But Rashi asks a different question. Rashi's what's bothered by, he says he blesses them 1,000 times, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'yivarech eschem kasher dibur lechem. He just blessed them 1,000-fold. And after blessing them 1,000-fold, he says, and Hashem should bless you, as he spoke to you. That's like old stuff, as he spoke to you. Moshe Rabbeinu gives this fresh, new, dynamic, incredible blessing, 1,000-fold. So Rashi says, The Jewish people heard from Moshe Rabbeinu that he blessed them 1,000-fold. What did they respond? What did they say? What do you think? You think they said thank you, right? Really?
Kind of nice.
Jewish people, yeah? You think they said thank you?
Yeah.
No. Look at Rashi. They kvetched.
Not Jewish mothers.
Ela Amru Loi, they said to Moshe, Ata Nesed Kitzvah L'Berchaseinu. Now you give a limit to our blessings? Only 1,000-fold?
Come on.
This is gewaldic. He just blessed them. He said you'd be magnified 1,000-fold. He just told them you're like the stars. He just told them you're like the constellations. He said, may you be blessed 1,000-fold. He said, just 1,000. Come on, my shit. Like, really? Kvar eftiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avram. Didn't God already promise Avram, Asherim yuchal ish limne, that the people will be blessed, that you, it's been beyond counting, infinite blessing, and you just blessed us 1,000. Amar Lahem, Meisha said to them, you're right. But you have to understand, Zu Mishali, I'm giving you what's mine. This is my blessing, Mishalihi. Or maybe like the Panim Yafis would explain it, Mishalihi, I'm giving you of my own blessings. I gave you what I got. Aval, God, Yivarach Eschem, Kasha Dibu Lachem. He should bless you, like you said. You have a good tiny, he said, I like this. This is good. You're kvetching, it's nice. He says, he will bless you like he promised. I can give you all I can give you. I give you what I got, these two blessings. I give it to you. I give you 1,000-fold, 500 times more each time. Okay, so now let's take a look at the paper from the Kisvei Arizal. Now, Kisvei Arizal are kind of difficult to understand. And most people will start to learn Kisvei Arizal and they're left in the dark. So they just give it up. But the Arizal revealed incredible, incredible new depth in Torah. And very, very often he used the mechanism of gematria, which is not just simply a silly playing of numbers, but actually the numerology reveals a deeper message that's there, similar to what the Baal Turim, where he only finds ideas that are found in the Chumash, he'll find it in the gematria also. The Arizal oftentimes uses gematria. So what is this business? The Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, I give you my blessing. But God, oh, God will give you all the blessings. So to understand this, our Indian, the thing is like this. Ki Moshe, begematria kel shakai. Moshe, the name Moshe, which is 345, Mem is 40, Shin is 300, and Hey is 5, that's 345. So the name Moshe, 345, is begematria kel shakai. It's the same number, the same gematria, numerology or value, as the names of God, Kael and Shakai. Aleph is 1, and Lamed is 30. It gives you 31. Shakai.
Shin is
300.
Dalet 4.
Dalet's 4.
Yud
is 10. It gives you 314. 314 plus 31.
345.
Okay, so what? Now, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu has in his possession, or he is equal to the names of Hashem that spell out Kael, Shin, Dalet, Yud. So what is the value of Kael, Shin, Dalet, Yud? Says the Arizal, when you spell out the name Kael, Shin, Dalet, Yud, in this manner, and he puts it in front of you, there's this idea of writing out a letter b'milua. You can write a letter Aleph, and even a small child knows the letter Aleph is?
One.
Aleph. It's Aleph. That's what it is. So what is that? That's an Aleph. Put the base. What is that? That's a base. What's that? A gimel. But you could also write the letters out. Just like in English, you can write A-L-E-P-H, Aleph. You can write it out actually in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. How would you write it out? Aleph would be Aleph, Lamed, Fe, spelled out. Lamed would be Lamed, Mem, Dalet. Shin would be Shin, Yud, Nun. Dalet would be Dalet, Lamed, Tav. So I wrote it out. So you look inside, you see it spelled out. Now, why does the Ariel say Kazeh? Kazeh, because there are different ways of sometimes spelling words. In fact, we know the name Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei can be spelled out, written out full in four different ways. And that's what we have, what's called the Shem Ma, and Shem Av, Shem Sag, and Shem Av, and Shem Ban, which are all different numbers. And all those different numbers represent different ways you can write Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Like, for example, Hey could be written Hey Yud, Yud, in which case it's 25, or Hey could be written Hey Aleph, in which case it's 6. So that what the Arizal says, when you write out Aleph, Lamed, Shin, Dalet, Yud, if you add up all of these numbers, and I'm not going to sit and go through the whole equation with you now, but I did last night. If you add up all these numbers, Im HaKoylel means it's a gematria principle that the word itself can count for one. So if Im HaKoylel, if you add up all these letters, Aleph, Lamed, Fe, Lamed, Mem, Dalet, Shin, Yud, Nun, Dalet, Lamed, Tov, Yud, Vav, Dalet, you get 999. Im HaKoylel, what does it equal? Ya'alu, Begematria, Elef. What's Aleph?
1,000.
Aleph is 1,000. So Moshe Rabbeinu therefore possesses the number of
1,000.
Because since Moshe is the same gematria of Kel Shakai, that means Moshe Rabbeinu possesses Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai spells out when you write it out fully, when you fully unfold it, when you develop it, it's 1,000. So what? That still sounds like mumbo jumbo, alphabet soup. Kel Shakai is 1,000. Whoopie-doo. Somebody should have been blessed him with 1,000. Says the Arizal, Vehi ha'alef. This alef, or this elef, is shelbina. What does that mean? What does it mean that elef is of bina? So, the Gemara tells us that there was children who had the profundity of the greatest sages. And they read the Aleph Beis in a conjunctive form. They read the Aleph Beis as if it's a story. They said, Aleph Beis. Goimel Dalem. Aleph is the idea of bias, or idea of home. The Aleph builds a home. You can build with an idea. You can build a home. Gimel, it's a goimel. Gimel means to give. Dalet is Dalem, to the poor. So Gimel, therefore, is reaching forward to give. And Dalem, the Dalem, is accepting. So Aleph Beis, The Aleph Beis is a narrative. It's a story. It's a Gemara. So it's a story. And the story is that Aleph Beis, now Aleph Beis, says the Arizal, so from a mystical level, the Aleph of Beis, the Aleph Beis, or the Beis of Bias, represents the concept of Bina. Why does it represent the concept of Bina? So first of all, I think this is the pshat. It says that the word Bina is connected to the word Bone. Bone means to build. Because an idea is sometimes metaphorized as just like a point of light, a flash of light, a tiny idea. It says nothing as valuable as an idea, and there's also nothing as worthless as an idea. If people come and give you ideas. Thank you very much. Another guy with good ideas. But when you develop an idea, it can be the most powerful thing. I think the business Pure Letter Courier, the guy wrote it, he was in Wharton School of Business, and he wrote it up an idea, and he got a D, like failing grades. He didn't care. He decided to take his business model and went ahead, and now he's a billionaire. So an idea depends what you do with it. And not everybody sees the value of the idea. That's fine. So we have this idea, this the Aleph or the Aleph of base, of bias. You build like you build a home. And also bias starts with a bays. And in spheres, this bays, the letter bays or bias also represents the concept of Bina. It starts with an idea with Aleph. And from Aleph it goes to Bina. So then Aleph, if Aleph goes to Bina, if Aleph bays, if Aleph goes to Bina, that means that this idea of Aleph or Aleph is connected to Bina. Ki Shom Heim Shnei Shemes HaNizker. The divine names that are located here, this is the name of Hashem which is in Aleph, and the name of Hashem which is in Beis. So the way this is connected, this represents the idea of Bina. And that's the secret of the Gemara that says Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina. So what the Arizal therefore is saying like this. He's saying that the power of Bina, which is the power to receive and to develop, can be squared 1,000. It has the power of 1,000-fold. That's the nature of Bina. You can take one idea and you could develop it in 1,000 different ways. You can apply it fully. Everything we know is comprised of Eser Sfiris, of 10, and 10 are comprised of 10, which gives you 100, and I think the proper terminology is squared. Fully developed, that's the square number of 1,000. So the idea of the concept of Bina, or the gestational development of an idea, is connected to the concept of Aleph, which is 1,000.
Is that like Chachma?
It's not like Chachma, it's like what you do with Chachma. Chachma is the idea itself. Bina is you receive the idea and develop the idea. V'hinei, says the Arizal, koichei shel Moshe hi ad eima. Moshe Rabbeinu's power to bless or to actualize, to bring forth, is only as far as eima or ima. Eima or ima represents Bina. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu has something to work with. Hashem gives a blessing out of nowhere. Hashem creates yesh mi'ayin. Moshe Rabbeinu has to work with something. He has to take something and actualize it and develop it. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach up to the level of Bina. And also, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's job? Moshe Rabbeinu's job is to teach. He's Rabbeinu, as we discussed many times. He's not HaMelech, he's not HaNavi, he's not HaGoyel. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the purpose of a teacher? If the teacher can't explain the ideas in a way that somebody else should be able to understand it, he's not a teacher. He's not a teacher. The power of a teacher is in being able to convey, to explain, to help the people understand. If you can't understand, if he can't help you understand, he's not a teacher. So if Moshe Rabbeinu's whole mission in life is to help Jews understand the Torah, he brought us the Torah, but he also explained and expounded the Torah. He helped us understand the Torah. If Moshe Rabbeinu's whole purpose in life is to explain the Torah, then what does Moshe Rabbeinu in a sense represent? Which sphere? The sphere of Bina, of understanding. And because that's the case, because Moshe Rabbeinu reaches all the way to the level of Bina, so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu bercham be'elef pa'amim. He can bless them up to 1,000 times. Because 1,000 times, that's what's in the purview of Moshe. That's what Moshe can reach. Now this is perhaps also connected to the idea that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was given elef oiris. He was given 1,000 lights. And the 1,000 lights were taken from Moshe Rabbeinu at the Chet HaEgel. Because if the teacher has nobody to teach, then he doesn't have the power of teaching. The whole essence of teaching is to be able to explain it to another. Moshe Rabbeinu was given this greatness. He was given his 1,000 lights. So he should be able to convey it to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people, similar to the golden calf, Hashem took it away. But guess what? Every Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu got it back.
Just for Shabbos.
So Moshe Rabbeinu lost his 1,000 lights, but he got his 1,000 lights back every Shabbos. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu still had, in some way, he still had the 1,000 lights in his possession. The 1,000 lights of understanding was still Moshe's. So therefore, since he had the 1,000 lights of understanding, he can give it. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's blessing? What did he say? Yivarech Eschem, Elef Pamim. So the Panim Yafes, we learned like a simple explanation. Simple Pshat, Moshe Rabbeinu got a blessing. Blessing is 500 times. Okay, so therefore he gave over his blessing to twice blessings. The Arizal is teaching us from a mystical, from a level of Kabbalah, the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to Sfiras Habina, that Moshe Rabbeinu can reach up to Sfiras Habina. And since Moshe Rabbeinu can reach up to Sfiras Habina represents Elef Bina, Alef Beis Elef Bina. And that's connected to the 1,000 lights of Moshe. So since Moshe Rabbeinu is able to do these things, Alpi Kabbalah, then that becomes a definition of Moshe, the hallmark, the character of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu gave it every head. So the question is, where do you get new, fresh stuff from? Where's the idea well? Where do things come, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing? The idea which comes out of nowhere.
Nope.
From nowhere, so to speak. Where's that? That's from Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, here's what I have. I can give you what I have. I can't give you what I don't have. So he says, I can give you Yivarech Eschem. How should he bless you? Elef Pamim. I give you all the 1,000 lights I have. He says, but the Yivarech Eschem, God Almighty, who is indeed infinite. That's he should believe you. Zesh Kosov, this is what says, Ad Kan Mishali. Moshe Rabbeinu says, till now, I'm giving you what I possess. From here and onward, after I give you everything I have. And this is Moshe Rabbeinu. He gives everything he has. Like a mother who gives everything she has to the child, Moshe Rabbeinu gives everything. He doesn't hold anything back. As it says, the expression, Nosan milach moy ledal. He gave of his own bread to the poor person. He didn't eat himself first and then gave. Moshe, everything he had, he gave away to us. Moshe said, that's all I have. Ad kan mishali, mikan ve'elech, beyond the 1,000. Okay, that's v'yivarech eschem. Hashem will give you. Which that's b'chinas, that comes from Abba Ilah, supernal father. Supernal father is a Kabbalistic euphemism for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now you understand the mystical meaning of these words. You understood it on a level of pshat, or of drush. We talked about Rashi, a level of pshat. And now in honor of, hey, Menachem Av, the Arizal Hilula, you actually learned today a real piece. I don't know if called a chunk, but a piece of Kisvei Arizal. And now we're going to conclude with the teaching of the Rebbe. Page Chofei in the Biurei HaChumash. The Rebbe asks a question. And the question is, then why did Moshe Rabbeinu give a blessing that elicited a question and a response and a demand? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say his blessing? Which we know what his blessing is. We understand his blessing. We understand it from the Panim Yafes. We understand it from the Arizal. We know what his blessing is. We understand the framework of Pshat of the Pasuk where Rashi explained it to us. But the question remains, why did he give a blessing that way? Why did he give the blessing? And they said, what? 1,000? He said, don't worry. That's just what I have. He'll give you the infinite blessing. Moshe Rabbeinu could have said to begin with, because Rashi fills in the missing blank, the missing pieces, right? There's like some missing links over here. He said the pasuk kind of, something doesn't fit right with this pasuk. It's like two sentences run on. Rashi says, yeah, it is. That's right. And there's an empty part of the sentence which the Chumash doesn't say. What was that? The Chumash only told you what Moshe Rabbeinu said. He didn't tell you that Moshe Rabbeinu was interrupted midway through the sentence. And that's how he finished his sentence. Okay, but that's the pshat. That's really what happened here. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I give you elephantus. I give you my 1,000 lights. I give you everything I have. Jupiter says, that's it? He said, no, that's what I can give you. Hashem will give you the rest. The Rebbe asks, Should have said at the beginning with bracha zu ein elam mishali. This is mine. Yilu brachas shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The blessing of Hashem is infinitude. I have a finite. Whatever I have, I give you. Says Moshe. So why do you do it that way? So the Rebbe says Habir Bazeh, the explanation why Moshe Rabbeinu said something, which elicited a response, to which Moshe Rabbeinu then was able to respond once again. He said, "Here's 1,000." They said, "That's all." He said, "No. That's what I can give you. God gives you more." There's a famous teaching of our sages, which is found in Medrash Tilim, chapter 116, that it says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu mis'ave l'tfiloson shel Yisrael," that God yearns, He craves as if for the prayers of the Jewish people. U'b'loshon hakasuf, and this is actually found in the scripture itself, in the 14th chapter of the book of Iyov, in verse 15, it says, L'maisa yodecha tichsef. Hashem thirsts, yearns, He craves your actions. He wants it. Hashem makes Himself needy, as if He needs you, as if He wants you, as if what you have to offer is wonderful and exhilarating. And Hashem says, "I want it." Now, Chazal, our sages, in the Medrash Tilim said this does not just refer to mitzvahs, where Hashem says, "I want you to do that mitzvah. I want to see you take initiative. I want to see you make this happen." But Chazal say this refers not only to action, but also to prayer. Hashem awaits for the prayers of Yisrael. Elsewhere it's brought down, and Rashi even quotes this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu awaits the prayers of tzaddikim, and that's why the imoys, that's why the matriarchs were almost all barren. God was going to give them children. Why does He give them children? First He to torture them, and they don't have any children. Then they weep, and they cry, and they beg. Same thing with the mother of Shmuel, with Hannah. And then after all this crying, Hashem says, "Oh, you really want it? Okay. If you were going to do that anyway, why did you have to do that for?" So on a simple level, we say Hashem loves the prayers of tzaddikim. But a Chazal, Medrash Tilim, say it's not just tzaddikim. Hashem loves the prayers of every yid, like V'amech Kulam tzaddikim, we're all really tzaddikim on some level. So therefore, Hashem wants that. The Rebbe uses this system, this frame, to explain what happened here. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave his 1,000 lights, he gave his blessings, and then he waited for the Jewish people to say, "What? Come on!" They said, "Oh, yes, I was waiting to hear this. Of course I have more for you. Of course, I don't have it, but there's more for you in store." In order for the Jewish people to be worthy of, in order for them to get infinity, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I can give you whatever I have. Whether you like it, want it, don't, I can give you everything." But beyond that, He can't give. But Moshe Rabbeinu wants Jewish people to get. So what does He have to do now? He has to inspire them to want it. So therefore, Hoyal B'nai Yisrael Levakish Zeis. You have to ask for it. When we ask for it, oh, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for. Just say please. It's like when your child wants something, your grandchild wants something. You say, "What's the magic word?" Just ask. Just be a mensch. Just ask for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to ask for it. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu gave a limited blessing. I mean, He gave everything He had. Everything, every ounce of and fiber of blessing He could marshal, He gave away. He didn't tell us this is my. He didn't tell them this is my blessing. In the beginning, He said, "Hashem alekechem Yosef kachem." Hashem should give. It sounds like a God's blessing. Mm-hmm. He specially said it that way, so they should say, "What? God only gives us 1,000?" They should have this astonishing response and say, "Come on, we thought we're getting more." Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, He's the ultimate teacher. The ultimate teacher gets the student to ask the question. He wanted this to begin with, so He set them up. And then, when they hear this, that they ask for the blessing. Oh, you ask for it. Then they receive the bracha bilti mubelas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaim, the Ebshter, should help us that we should get all the infinite blessings in the most wonderful way.